In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, my friend, my co-host, how are you? How was your Colorado trip? How's being home? How's everything going?
My trip was amazing. We got 2 days of snow, so it was some fresh pow-pow. And then our last ski day was just a beautiful sunny day where you could just see mountains on mountains on mountains. Really cool. The U.S. ski team was there doing some trials or practice or some competition or something. So that was pretty cool to see. Yeah, this week's been an adjustment just because I came back and I worked a night shift and just catching up on my sleep. But here we are, hump day, and happy to be here with you. How's your week going?
Week's going pretty good. We went and saw the Handsome podcast live, which I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's Tig Notaro and Fortune Feimster and another comedian named Mae Martin. But they did a live recording here at the Ryman. It's one of Kara's favorite podcasts, so I bought her tickets to that for Christmas, so we got to go. And then,
oh, cool.
Yeah, other than that, just been working and hanging out with the kiddo. I do love that you call snow pow-pow, though. I feel like that like makes you hip. You're on like the skier lingo.
Yeah, you gotta be hip with the lingo of the skiers. Yeah, pow-pow. Just
out there grabbing some totally tubular
some
pow-pow, bro.
Pow-pow.
Is that what they actually call it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it'll do.
Yeah.
Fresh powder.
Yeah, I always think of the Grinch when he's like, the sun is shining and the powder is bitching when he's like going down. But I've been snowboarding like twice in my life and both times I just ate shit. So,
me and my best friend, we're late life skiers. You know, I've only been skiing maybe 4 years, 4 or 5 years. It's a later in life hobby. So it is for her as well. But her wife has been skiing since she was a teenager. So we decided that when we go back next year, we're going to take one half a day or a whole day of snowboarding school to see if we're better at that than skiing. Because okay. Like, we don't know what we're good at because we've only tried skiing.
Yeah.
So we're going to give it a shot.
I've never tried skiing just because of where my credit score is. I feel like my credit score isn't high enough for me to go out there and try skiing. So maybe a couple years. I'm, you know, not that I have a bad credit score, but you know, most of the people I know who go skiing are like high, you know, they're close to 800, if not higher. I don't fall there. So,
I mean, I keep saying all my hobbies are expensive hobbies. I don't know how I ended up doing these expensive things, but I really enjoy them, which we went on our trip because the ski lift prices were very cheap. So we basically, you know, stole the tickets. So that's why we went in April. But, you know, it is what it is. It's fun.
Yeah. No, I love being out in the snow and, you know, we were always a big sledding family. So, you know, any excuse I have to, you know, get on something in the snow and fall down and hurt myself is I'm always going to take advantage of that. But I'm definitely glad that you had a good time and you got that fresh pow pow and you got to experience. I'm glad you had fun and it's just good to have you back and get back on the schedule. And how's everything with school going?
I just have a few more weeks left to go. I did my last week while I was on vacation was my last longest, hardest week. So I just have to make it through this week. and next week, and I am done for 2 weeks.
It's the final countdown. We're getting there.
The final countdown.
Don't sue us or take the episode off the air.
We don't have the credits to this music or whatever you're supposed to say.
Yeah, I don't have the credit score to pay for that song. So
me neither.
Well, like I said, I'm glad that you're back. I know you are short on time. You're still doing schoolwork. Listeners are short on time. What do you say? Should we quit with the Gabby Gabby, get into the Stabby Stabby, and break down this week's short on time case? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. For this week's short on time case, we're heading to Gloucester, New Jersey. In March of this year, a man was swiping through Tinder when he matched with a woman who called herself Dee. The pair would eventually meet in person on March 31st at a Runnymede, New Jersey Wawa store. Over the next few days, they would exchange phone calls and text messages, and at some point during their conversation, it took a dark turn, with Dee sharing a bit of morbid information. She told the man that she wished her ex-boyfriend, a Philadelphia police officer, were dead. In fact, she was willing to pay to have it done. So she made a startling proposition. Dee told her Tinder match that she would pay him $12,000 to kill her ex-boyfriend and his 19-year-old daughter. If he were willing, he would receive $500 up front, and the rest would be paid in installments once the killing had occurred. But the unnamed man was not interested in the deadly offer, and on April 4th, 2025, he informed the local police about the murder-for-hire plot. It was then that detectives were able to determine who Dee really was. 26-year-old Jacqueline DiOrio. Now, they were able to track down her policeman ex-boyfriend, and the officer confirmed that he had in fact been in a relationship with DiOrio, but they had broken up on March 6th of this year. Looking into the couple's history, authorities found that DiOrio had filed for a temporary protection order against the officer during the summer of 2024, but it was later dropped and the couple continued dating. Armed with this information, detectives put a plan into motion. The unnamed informant set up a meeting with DiOrio at a local Dollar General store, and when the two met in the parking lot, the informant climbed into her white Honda Civic. Once inside, DiOrio demanded to see the man's driver's license, and when she was satisfied that he was who he said he was, she handed him $500, a down payment for the violent crime that she wanted committed. But what DiOrio didn't know was that detectives were waiting, and after the exchange, she was promptly arrested. Jacqueline DiOrio has been charged with 2 counts of first-degree attempted murder, 1 count of conspiracy to commit murder, and third-degree drug possession. DiOrio is currently in custody and is expected to appear in court on Friday of this week for a detention hearing. So, Olivia, this story definitely got a lot of twists, definitely got a lot of turns. You know, you meet somebody on Tinder and all of a sudden they're propositioning you for a murder. So I really want to continue to follow this one, find out what happens. Again, very, very new, right? We're looking at court this week. But with everything that we've covered, what are your initial thoughts? Where's your head at?
I was looking at this earlier today because I thought initially it was my short on time this week, but you surprised me and it was you. So this is crazy. There's a lot of little cases out there like this, not like this specifically, but just a lot of just random acts of violence and crime. And, you know, I even read one about a soccer coach killing a 13-year-old. So there's just a lot of stuff out there. But this one, first off, let's just say you meet somebody on Tinder and you're going to a Wawa. Have you ever been to a Wawa?
Yeah, it's like a big gas station, right? It's like
it's just a gas station.
Yeah.
Romantic. Yeah, like, that's not where I'm meeting my Tinder date. So I almost wonder, first off, I'm not on Tinder. Let's clarify that. But if I was on Tinder, I would not be meeting somebody at the Wawa for our first encounter. So I wonder what their conversations were like leading up to their actual first meeting, because it's just a random place. Hey, let's meet at the gas station down the corner. It's like by your house where you go to the gas station.
Right.
Just go meet up with somebody for the first time. I don't know. Not for me. But then just to be so... like, how do you know that this person that you're going on these dates with isn't catfishing you and they're not like a police officer, or that one, you can trust them? Just seems odd. And then so I wonder also, it says that she's being charged with possession of drugs or some sort of drug charge.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a big part into it. You know, what kind of drugs is it? Is she having some, you know, acute mental breakdown? And then, I don't know, it just seems like there's a lot of toxicity. And then I hate that this guy that's being, you know, she's trying to have murdered is a police officer. So it's just a lot. But we're definitely going to have to keep following this one.
Yeah, it was just so strange to me, like the fact that you, in the research, they started corresponding through calls and texts after they met at the, you know, super fancy Wawa on like the 31st of March. And this guy was at the police station by the 4th of April, right? So we're literally talking 4 days. So over four days.
What did you say?
Yeah, where she's like, I'm going to shoot my shot and see if I can get this guy to potentially kill someone, which it's like, it's just a crazy swing. I mean, I feel like there's, you know, not that I condone any of that kind of behavior, but like, unfortunately, things like this happen all the time. And it's pretty apparent that there's way more like efficient ways to find somebody who would do something like this. And maybe like Tinder is not the best option. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it seems right. Like a strange play. Like,
what is your emoji on there or your like personality type that you have on your Tinder profile to find potential murderers?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Like 26, loves long walks on the beach and conspiracy to commit murder, knife emoji, knife emoji, knife emoji. You know what I mean? It's very strange. Like, and I, you know, I definitely wouldn't disagree that there's probably some aspect of, you know, use of controlled substances, things like that. Like, I know this isn't the case for everyone, but, you know, I do know some people who have been involved with police officers in the past. And again, this is anecdotal. Like, I don't have any studies or anything like that, but some of the people I know who have been involved in relationships with these people, there's a lot of turmoil that is like tied into that. They can be rocky relationships. I don't know if that's, you know, because of what the person does for a living or, you know, like the dangers associated with it or what, but you know, with the people that I know, there have been a lot of ups and downs, especially if they're not like married or been together for a long time. If they're just casually dating, it can be pretty intense from what I've witnessed. And so I don't know if maybe it's some of that's like what played into her relationship with her ex and having the temporary restraining order and then dropping it. But the thing that really got to me is like, why would you go after the daughter? Because they didn't really talk a lot about that in the research. I don't know if maybe she had a part in them breaking up, you know, again, speculation, but it just seems strange that you'd be like, yeah, I want to kill my ex-boyfriend and his daughter and I'll give you $12,000. Also, I don't know if this stuck out to you, but I mean, she was looking at doing like layaway hitman work. She was like, I'll give you the rest of the 12,000 in installments.
Yeah, absolutely not. If I'm going to be murdering somebody, you better give me cash in hand.
Do you take Cheesecake Factory gift cards? Because I will,
you know what I mean? I'll buy you Wawa gas.
Right. It's, hey, listen, the Thornton's down the street from my house got some slamming pizza. It's way better than it should be. I've had to make a rule that I've cut it out of my life. That's how good it is. I'm tempted to eat it all the time. So, but overall, I just found this case super interesting. And I was just, you know, kind of wondering what your thoughts were on it. Or if you want to jump right into the deadbolt test, like, what are you thinking? Where would something like this fall for you?
Yeah, I think it's just a bizarre case. Like, I just don't get where what people's mentalities are these days. But if I had to go deadbolt test, I'm going to score this one a little lower just because there wasn't an actual murder. And, you know, it's not really relatable to me. So I was going to put it at a 4 because it is kind of scary that some woman can just go out there and be like, hey, I want to meet you and I want you to kill somebody for me. 2 people, yeah, actually, on a payment plan. So that to me is scary.
The payment plan just gets me. The layaway option. Just murder on a budget.
Yeah, it's like you can either afford it, sis, or you can't.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to put it at a 4. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I was just kind of curious, right? Because I know, like, you're not in the apps or anything right now, but I know that you've been in the dating world before. And so, you know, I was kind of wondering, like, what if you, like, met some dude, you guys went to dinner or something, or met at the Wawa, wherever you guys decided to hang out.
And he, like, asked you seem me like, to murder his ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, like day four. You know what I mean?
There wouldn't be a minute after that that I would have done the same thing. I mean, do I look like a murderer? That would be my first question. Do I look like somebody who's willing and able to commit a crime like that? Not on one person, but two? Absolutely not. But yeah, I would have gone to the police.
Yeah, but like, okay, but like, let's say like he's super dreamy. He doesn't want kids. He's got a great credit score. He's got a great job. And the only thing that he wants you to do
is murder somebody. I mean, there's plenty outside of that,
he's perfect on paper.
There's other people out there that have good credit scores and are handsome and, you know,
he's like, I want to travel. Nice paycheck. I love scuba diving. I love fresh pow-pow.
Right. I'm going to say, honey, then we're going to have to pick a different country because we can't live here because we've committed murder.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. For me, I think I would actually put this a little bit higher. I'm not going anywhere near as high as we normally do. I think for me, I would probably put this at a 6. And the only reason I would put it at a 6 is there is something terrifying to me about, like, you've broken up with somebody and, like, you think it's over and this person lives in New Jersey and you're in, you know, Philly. And you're just doing your day-to-day thing, probably, you know, like trying to move past that relationship, move on with your life. And you have no idea until the cops come knocking at your door that this person is like actively trying to plan your murder. So I think for me, that's what would put it just a little bit higher. Just the fact that you could be out there walking around. You have no idea that somebody's like, oh, I'm going to get rid of that guy, you know? So that, I think that raises it for me a little bit, but yeah, this definitely isn't going to go higher than that just because there was no, you know, actual murder or anything like that. And thankfully she got caught. It's just, it's such a strange place. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a strange place to solicit a murder. It kind of blew me away.
Tinder is, I mean, you know, every app has their own little thing. You know, being on the apps, people are like, well, if you go to Tinder, you just want to hook up. If you, you know, go to this, whatever, you know. So I guess we just said maybe we should patent an app, Murder for Hire. Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Just kidding, listeners.
Hinge for exes who are supposed to be deleted, you know, or something like that. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's just, you know.
All jokes aside, I'm glad the police officer's alive and she got caught and that the person she met on Tinder had the smarts about him to go and report her.
Oh, 100%. And I definitely would not be, had she been successful, I would not be making the jokes that I'm making. I think it's just...
Oh, absolutely not. No, you know, everybody's alive and well. So we got to poke some fun at this, you know.
But I definitely, like, I want to follow up on this. I want to see what happens, you know, and if it goes to trial or if she just pleads guilty, because it's an interesting case. And it was one of the ones where I was researching. I was like, I can't believe this. Because, you know, you see people, like I said, they're like, oh, I'm on the dark web or, you know, Tony from Costco told me about this guy and I met him in my car, you know, something like that. Like, but not, you know, what are you into? You know, how tall are you? What do you do for a living? Hey, would you murder my ex? You know what I mean? It just feels very, very different way to approach it. But yeah. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's episode. Olivia's putting in at a 4. I'm coming in at a 6. But as always, we want to hear from you. Where does a Tinder killer potentially fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to spend some time with you, get to know you a little bit better, and hear what you think. So if you want to join the Facebook group, there is a link to the group in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. Come be part of the best place on the internet. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. Got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, you know, stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. But you also get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you want to help us out, that's patreon.com/checkthelocks. You can get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if you're listening and you're encouraging others to do the same, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. It's going to help us grow, find new members of the community, and again, just really grow our family. So thank you for sharing this. It really does mean the world. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
See you on Tinder.